we have today. So, children, you can make your way to Children's Church if you would. And the rest of you, would you please take your Bible and turn to John chapter 12. It's one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, and I love the opportunity to preach on the subject that's captured by it in this text. Great music. Thank you for laying the groundwork for this message today. When we talk about how awesome God is and our love for Him, I want you to think about that. I want you to think all the way through this message this morning, if you would. How much do you love God? How much? I love top 10 lists, and I found one that I thought I couldn't really believe that really existed. I mean, how lazy are we getting in this country? When we have to have a top 10 list for housekeeping tips for regular people. If you're a Martha Stewart type of housekeeper, this column is not for you. However, for the rest of us, this is our chance to learn 10 secret shortcuts for good housekeeping that your mother never told you about when company is coming in 30 minutes. Tip 1, door locks. If a room clearly can't be whipped into shape in 30 days, much less 30 minutes, employ the locked door method of cleaning. Tell everyone who tries to go in that room that the door is intentionally locked. Caution, it is not advisable to use this tip for the bathroom. Tip 2, duct tape. No home should be without an ample supply of duct tape. Not only is it handy for plumbing repairs, but it's a great way to hem drapes, tablecloths, clothes, just about anything. No muss, no fuss. Tip 3, I love this one, ovens. If you think ovens are just for baking, think again. Ovens represent at least 9 cubic feet of hidden storage space, which means they're a great place to shove dirty dishes, dirty clothes, or just about anything you want to get out of sight when company is coming. Tip 4, dryers. Like tip 3, except bigger. Caution, avoid hiding flammable objects here. I love this. Tip 5, washing machines and freezers. Like tip 4 and 3, except even bigger and bigger. Tip 6, dust ruffles. No bed should be without one. Devotees of Martha Stewart believe that dust ruffles exist just to keep dust from out from under the bed or help coordinate the color look of a bedroom. The rest of us know that a dust ruffle's highest and best use is to hide whatever you've managed to shove under the bed. I don't know about you, but my kids learned that right away. Tip 7, vacuuming. Stick to the middle of the room, which is the only place people look. Don't bother vacuuming under furniture. It takes way too long and no one looks there anyway. Tip number 8, lighting. The key here is low, low, and lower. It's not only romantic, but bad lighting can hide a multitude of dirt. Tip 9, bed making. I love this. See, you got to be lazy to think of this. Get an old-fashioned waterbed. No one can tell if those things are made up or not, saving you hundreds of seconds over the course of a lifetime. And number 10, if you already knew at least 10 of these tips, don't think about inviting a Martha Stewart type over for dinner. How lazy have we got in this country where we have to have top 10 tips to be able to clean our house? You know, I thought about that in terms of our life spiritually, and I thought about the idea of keeping our house, ourself, fit for the kingdom's work. I wonder how many times I do, and I wonder how many times we do as Christians, try to find shortcuts to keeping the house clean. When all the while, there's dirt under every corner and stuff strewn just everywhere that nobody can see. How lazy have we got in our Christian life that we have to try to short-circuit the process of clean lives before God? I ran across an interesting survey. A survey asked Christians why they don't witness as much as they should. The number one reason, and this was a shock, I would think it'd be, I don't know how to, I'm afraid to, circumstances don't arise. All those things would come up. But you know what the number one reason why Christians don't witness like they should? Because their lives don't tell for Jesus. I wonder how many of us know that our lives are cluttered, and yet we put on a house that looks immaculate. I want to preach today on the kind of zeal that we need to live out the Christian life as it should be lived out. And it's found in the Apostle John. I'll ask you to stand if you would. And I want to read just one verse and then we'll take this text in its context. As Jesus was conversing with those around Him as a result of the Gentiles coming to find Him and Him now looking forward to the cross, Jesus makes this bold statement in verse 32 of John chapter 12. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to Me. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray for wisdom. Not earthly wisdom, not selfish wisdom, but that wisdom that is from above, that would come and enlighten our hearts. We pray that You'll shine the flashlight of Your Word into the deep recesses, the corners of our life, and help us not to be lazy Christians. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take you back to 95 A.D., about 2,000 years ago, 100 years after Jesus was born, and 66 years after Jesus died. I want you to think about the Apostle John. He's imprisoned on the island of Patmos, sentenced to life without the possibility of parole for the crime of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle John was a preacher of the gospel, and because of that, he was arrested and sentenced to life without the possibility of parole on the Isle of Patmos. The Isle of Patmos was an island specifically created just for criminals. It was a lonely, deserted island except for the other criminals and the guards. One might think it would have been a desperate, despicable, discouraging place to live out your life and die. But the Apostle John found it to be the perfect place to write. God had provided the perfect opportunity for John to be able to sit down and write he did. John wrote the Gospel of John, three epistles, and the book of Revelation. John didn't look at Patmos as a death camp. He saw it as a golden opportunity to tell the story of Jesus Christ. But not only that. John had an opportunity to tell his own story. Imagine, all the other prisoners were criminals of the Roman Empire. They had done probably despicable things to warrant their being there on the Isle of Patmos. Imagine them talking to John, and as maybe John comes and sits in the cellmate asked him, "What are you in for?" And John says, "I'm in because I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ." Imagine all those criminals asking John, "Why in the world are you here?" Or, "What in the world are you doing here?" In essence, they were asking, why was Jesus so important to be imprisoned for something they considered to be so insignificant? I mean, they might even think, well, most people, I understand that most people in prison don't think they ought to be there anyway. But imagine them thinking about John the Baptist, or John the Apostle, and thinking about why he's there. And they would have asked him over and over, "John, why are you here?" I think maybe John got a little bit annoyed at that. And I think John, in his writing, makes sure to put down why it is that of all things he could have done, John chose to live out his life on the Isle of Patmos. John's answer is found in verse 32. As John was writing this chapter and writing this story of the life of Jesus Christ, it is important for us to understand the dynamic of where John was coming from. John's answer was clear. The answer to their question, the reason for his imprisonment, and the testimony of John from death row was very, very simple. The cross of Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, here's the word that John used, I will draw all men to me. Jesus pronouncing that the cross that he was going to was not a death sentence. It was an opportunity for God to draw men, women, boys and girls from all kinds of peoples to himself. John tells the story of the cross over and over and over. If you look throughout the book of John, it's so different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke because John wanted to center in on the cross of Jesus Christ. When you read his three epistles, you'll discover threaded throughout his epistles, it's this idea of dedication to the cross of Jesus Christ. Even the book of Revelation reminds us of the cross of Jesus Christ. I remind you today, I want you to remember that John was the only one of the disciples who witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. He stood there at the base of the cross with Mary, Jesus' mother, and beheld Jesus being crucified. John was the one who saw Jesus die. John was the one who witnessed the crucifixion. And it made a profound effect in his life. It literally did something to John that changed the course of his life forever. And the words of verse 32, as John was pinning this on the Isle of Patmos, his tears probably streaming down his face, John was remembering the effect that the cross had on his life. And he remembered the words that Jesus proclaimed. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And John used the perfect word to describe that impact of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the word draw. In the Greek language, he was saying that I have been seized, I have been gripped, I have been arrested, I have been apprehended. by the cross of Christ. Literally, the cross had gripped the heart of John, just like Jesus had promised. And dear friend, we need more people in the world today willing to stand up for Christ, to live for Christ, and yes, even die for Jesus Christ, all because of the cross on which Jesus died. We need more people in the church today, like John, not concerned with the comfort or the convenience, the praise or the recognition or all that goes with earthly living, but only that Jesus would be honored and glorified and exalted. Why? Because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul expressed this idea in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. I don't count myself to have been apprehended, but I do follow. I've put aside all these things, and one thing I'm doing, I'm following after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Same word. Paul discovered the same idea, seized, arrested, gripped, grabbed by the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul confessed that the cross had seized his heart and his mind. I remind you, in the days in which this is going on, that Paul would have been at the cross of Jesus Christ. There in the crowd with all of those that reviled, there in the crowd with all of those who looked on, would have been Saul of Tarsus. Saul would have watched Jesus die, and it would have made an impact, Paul said, in his life. Paul wrote to the Galatians, if I'm going to glory in anything, I'm going to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen. God knew the power of the cross. God knew the power of the cross. John experienced that power played out in his life. It had literally gripped and seized his heart. Paul was changed by the power and impact of the cross. And dear friend, the cross has a life-changing, life-producing, life-giving power. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you been to the cross of Jesus Christ? And I don't mean intellectually. I don't mean in some way you thought, you know, I got saved sometime. I mean, have you let the cross of Jesus Christ impact your life for Jesus Christ? Have you been to the cross? Unfortunately, we weren't there when Jesus died. But Peter says we have something more valuable, way better. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Bible is the story of the cross, and we can visit it over and over again. Listen to what Jesus was saying in verse 32. A visit to the cross. A visit to the cross will grip your heart. Some of us in this room have never been to the cross. We've never been impacted by the cross in our life. You can tell. Our life doesn't tell for Christ. We don't live for Jesus. We don't talk about Him. We live more like the world than we do like Christ. The reason is we've never been to the cross. The cross has never gripped our heart. It's never gripped our life. Some of us here have forgotten about the cross. We went to the cross and we got our sins forgiven. We got a home in heaven. And those first few days and months of our Christian life were exciting days, but we've forgotten about the cross. You can tell. We live in a world with no sense of serving Christ. We just go on about our business and give lip service and just do what we have to do, but there's no passion. There's no passion in our life. Some of us here have lost the wonder of the cross. We've lost the wonder of the cross in lieu of all of the entertainment that can be found in the world. The results are all the same. There's no life-changing, life-giving power in our life. We're just going through the motions, and we're not making an impact in the world for Jesus. The Apostle John wanted it down on record. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will seize, I will grab, I will grip, I will arrest, I will apprehend the hearts of those who come to Christ. In the few moments that I have left here, I want to take you back to the cross, if I can. And I want to show you what John never forgot. They took away John's home. They took away his family. They took away his friends. They deported him to an island of criminals. And they made him live out his life. But they never could take away what John saw at the cross. Why are you here, John? I'm here because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't think for a moment. Don't think for a moment that John couldn't have not have got off that island. A simple sentence would have gotten John free and paroled. All John would have had to say was, "I won't preach the gospel anymore." Think about it. And John could have went back to his family. He could have went back to his friends, to his home, to his lifestyle. He could have went back and enjoyed the rest of his life. Except that the cross of Jesus Christ had gripped his life in a way that forever changed it. And John wrote and wrote and wrote because he never forgot. So I want to ask the question and answer it very simply this, very quickly. I want to ask the question because I want to know for myself, what captivated the heart of John at the cross of Jesus Christ? What was it about the cross that made such an impact in his life? Can we revisit that this morning? Number one, John was captivated by its violence. He wrote about it in this text. In verse 32, he says, "Jesus said, 'If I be lifted up from the earth.'" Jesus was talking about death by crucifixion. You need to know that Jesus was in charge of what was going to happen to him. There wasn't any other way that Jesus was going to die on this earth than die by crucifixion. If I be lifted up from the earth, and it's a phrase that was used to describe a crucifixion, a death by crucifixion. John recalled the night before and the day of the crucifixion and the violent change that had taken place in Jesus' life. I remind you that Isaiah tells us that Jesus was beaten so badly that you could not recognize who he was. What gripped the heart of John was as he stood at the cross and looked at this one that he had walked with for 3 years, he couldn't even recognize him because of the violence that had taken place in his life. Crucifixion was an ugly, gruesome death. But because of who Jesus was and the example that they intended to make of him, his crucifixion was way over the top. You need to understand that. Many of you have seen Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion. And you've seen how much gore and how much blood was there. It doesn't even do justice. You'll ask Mel Gibson himself and he will tell you that he didn't even do it justice. The violence of Jesus' death was way, way over the top. They beat him more than they were allowed to beat him. They made Jesus do things that none of the others would have had to do. They wanted to make an example of Jesus Christ. And John couldn't help but remember as he sat on the Isle of Patmos that his dear Savior had died on that cross for him, but he couldn't forget about what Jesus had to go through in order for him to have eternal life. He never would forget. Two things impressed him about Jesus when he was crucified. First, he was impressed with the power that Jesus had to make it through. Listen, dear friend, I know that a lot of times Jesus is portrayed as some wimp, some skinny, scrawny little guy that is pushed around by everybody. That's not Jesus. Jesus was the Almighty Son of God. And I tell you, dear friend, for someone to go through what Jesus went through, to remain conscious and cognizant all the time, going through the cross of Jesus Christ to make sure that the work of God was going to be done, that took some great power and force. And John was impressed that Jesus even made it to the cross, let alone died on the cross. Do you know why that verse is so important that tells us that when the time came, the Bible says Jesus gave up the ghost? You know why that's so important? It's important for you and I to realize that the cross didn't kill Jesus. It's important for us to understand that there had to be a point at which Jesus died, and Jesus chose the time and place. Because Jesus could have hung there all day if He wanted to. He could have hung there for all eternity if He wanted to. Jesus could have done that. But He had to die. And He chose the moment. Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. And John was impressed with His power. But I tell you what impressed him more than that. He was impressed with His passion. He was impressed with the love that was flowing from the cross of Jesus Christ. He looked at those who nailed Him to that cross. They drove spikes into His hands and feet. And they brutally whipped Him. Pulled out His beard. And they spat on Him. And they used Him for a punching bag. And John watched Jesus look down and say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He looked at a thief that reviled Him, cursed Him. Looked at a thief who had a change of heart and said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Stood next to Jesus' mother and watched the passion of a son for his mother and say, "Mom, John will take care of you." He was impressed. He was impressed with the violence. But he was impressed more than that with Jesus. Dear friend, I tell you what. If you want something to motivate you, if you need something to live out your life as a Christian the way it should be lived, you ought to visit the cross every day and be reminded that you can't even recognize Jesus, your Savior, because of what He did for you. Secondly, I want you to notice this. In this text, John says, you know what I was captivated by? I was captivated by the cross because it was voluntary. I want you to look at verses 25 through 27. "He that loves his life shall lose it, but he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." John writes, Jesus said, "But for this hour I came." I came for this. John was captivated by the cross because it was voluntary on Jesus' life. John knew Jesus didn't have to die. Nor did he have to die that way. But he did. He did it because he loved us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And John wrote in his epistles, "Hereby we know what love is." Listen, John understood what love was. "Hereby we know what love is, because Jesus gave his life for us." Jesus stood in the face of Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate, with all of his braggadocious self, stood up and said, "Jesus, don't you know that I have the power to take your life or to spare it?" And Jesus looked him square in the eye and didn't blink a bit when he said, "You don't have any power over me. I'll lay down my life. You're not going to take it. I'll lay down my life." Because that's what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Voluntarily. You don't have to make him. Jesus didn't say, "God, Father, if someone has to, I guess I will." When the time came for someone to volunteer to go save a world that was lost in sin and bound for hell, when the time came, Jesus raised his hand. He raised both of his hands and said, "I'll go, I'll go." You want something to motivate you to live your Christian life the way you should? Jesus voluntarily left heaven to go to hell just so you could be saved and live out your life. Thirdly, John was captivated because the cross was vicarious. Because it was vicarious. You know what that word means, don't you? Jesus died in our place. I want you to look at verse 31. The rendering here is poor, so let me help you understand this. Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world." It would better be rendered, "Now is the time of the judgment for this world, indicating His intention to die for all of mankind. Because if we look at verses 46 and 47, Jesus says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not." The judgment wasn't that He was coming to tell everybody you're going to hell, but rather, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." John was captivated by the violence, and he was captivated by the fact that Jesus voluntarily went to the cross. But I'll tell you, dear friend, John was captivated by the fact that John knew that Jesus was dying for him. Jesus died in John's place, and Jesus died in my place, and Jesus died in your place. John was captivated by the idea that someone would love him so much. Listen, someone would love him so much to go through all of that so he could have life. He was captivated because it was vicarious. Jesus paid it all. Listen, all to Him I owe. All to Him I owe. The greatest problem we have in our churches today is a split allegiance. Christians want to live part in the world and part in the church. Listen, dear friend, there's no split allegiance when you get to the cross. The world didn't die for you. The world could care less about you. You want to find out how good you are in the world? Just lose all the stuff that the world ever wants out of your life, and you'll find out exactly how much the world thinks of you. Not Jesus. When we were trespassed in sin, Jesus came. Even when we were enemies, Romans 5 says, even when we were the enemies of God, Jesus said, "I'll still go because I love them." John was captivated because Jesus died for him. And lastly, you want to know what motivated John and captivated and gripped his heart? John was captivated because the cross was victorious. If you look at verse 31 carefully, look what it says. The prince of this world is going to be cast out. Better than Babe Ruth. Listen, better than Babe Ruth calling for the fence. Jesus said, "When I die, they're going to bury me, but guess what? 3 days I'm going to rise again." Satan was defeated at the cross. Listen, I want you to understand, John is not so much referring to the resurrection here from the tomb, but the resurrection power that he just saw on the cross. It was visible. The resurrected power of Jesus Christ was visible before Jesus ever entered the tomb. John watched Jesus overcome hatred and temptation and ridicule and sin and even his own self to accomplish God's will. The cross was a powerful thing even without the resurrection. Add that John witnessed a resurrected Jesus Christ, and John saw the cross as a victorious part of the Christian life, something that was worth living for and dying for. When the New Testament church, when they got to the book of Acts, and they started living out this Christian life and winning people by the thousands to Jesus Christ, you know what they did it with? They did it with the cross. In every message, they preached the message, "You took Jesus and you crucified Him, but God raised Him from the dead, and it's in His name that we preach." I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today, the song says. John was captivated by the victorious Christian life. John was on an isle, deserted, forgotten by everybody, all alone by himself, except John lived out his life in victory because of the cross of Jesus Christ. John, why do you preach when you know it's going to get you beaten and imprisoned? John, why do you preach? Just shut your mouth. "I can't. I've been to the cross. I've been to the cross. John, why do you live like you do, all antisocial and all? Why do you always talk about all those things out there that people are doing? Why are you just so anti-everything? I've been to the cross. John, why do you worship? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you give? Why do you witness? Why do you every day try to live a holy and godly life, forsaking all those things and sacrificing things for life? Why are you doing all those things? John said, I'll tell you why. I've been to the cross. Can I ask you something? Is that what the cross has done for you? Is that what the cross has done for you? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw them into me. You know how you and I win people to Jesus and grow the church? Displaying the cross. Because Jesus said, if any man follows me, let him take up his cross and follow me. In the flight line of Pittsburgh Airport, 2.7 seconds into the flight line, the airplane buzzes the steeple of a Pittsburgh church. The pastor says on many days when the traffic, air traffic is heavy, that it's hard to even conduct a service. So they erected on the top of the steeple a cross and they lit it, so the planes wouldn't run into their church. But what they discovered was the same thing that everybody that's ever put up a cross in their life has discovered. Is that the cross is not a protection for the church. The cross is the proclamation of where you're at in life. Because now they say all of the pilots that fly in and out of Pittsburgh Airport use that cross and the light on that cross to guide them to the runway. On dark, foggy nights, the cross can be seen. And all they have to do is line up with the cross and they can find their way. So the pilots say, we're using the cross as our guide. Now, dear friend, I don't know about you, but the only way for you and I to make it, and the only way for us to land safely, and the only way for us to really get the most out of this life is to erect a cross in our life and let it light the way. Have you been to the cross? Maybe today would be a day for you to come and take a preacher by the hand and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I'm thankful that Jesus died for me so I could go to heaven someday. So I could live out an abundant life. I thank you. And I want to accept Jesus. Have you been to the cross? Christian, when was the last time that you really took time to think about what Jesus has done for you? In light of what you're doing for Him in the world. Have you lost the wonder? May I suggest that this morning would be a great opportunity for us to be gripped and grabbed and captivated and apprehended by the cross. Let's pray together. If you're here and you're lost without Jesus, listen. I can't make it any more plain than I'd have. Jesus died a violent, voluntary, vicarious death so that you might have victory in life. And the only way you're going to find victory in life is through that. You'll find temporary satisfaction in all the things of the world, but you'll never find that which satisfies the human soul. And Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven someday, you got to come by me. And I suggest that Jesus meant that we ought to come by the cross of Jesus Christ.